Our guest on the Country Hour this afternoon is Eytan Lenko, who is the chair of Beyond Zero Emissions, which is a not-for-profit organisation which just last week revealed its 10-gigawatt renewable energy vision for the Northern Territory. Eytan, thanks for your time on the Country Hour this afternoon. This project out in the Barkly, this proposal, I mean, how feasible is it to build 15,000 hectares of solar panels in the Barkly, do you think?
Oh, cheers, Matt. Thanks for having me on. Well, Beyond Zero Emissions, we're a not-for-profit climate solutions group, and we pull together engineers and scientists and experts to look at how we can transition Australia's economy to a zero-emissions economy and, meanwhile, unlock all of the opportunities that brings the jobs and the economy. And recently we've been looking at the Northern Territory and seeing, you know, there's really two facts that drive both this project proposal for the Barkly and the Beyond Zero Emissions vision, which is that renewables are now by far the world's cheapest source of electricity, and the Northern Territory has the world's best solar resource. So when we're looking at this particular project, I mean, they've also taken that in mind, and there really is nowhere else in the world where you're producing electricity as cheaply as possible. And Singapore doesn't have the space to produce its own renewable energy. So they're really looking for outside, you know, to have to import renewable electricity, which is what this project does. So in terms of, you know, pure economics and business case, it definitely stacks up. Obviously, it's a really big project and there's a lot of moving pieces that have to be put together for it to work. But it's a completely realistic project, for sure.
How would it stack up, do you think, against spending that kind of money somewhere closer to Singapore? What about Indonesia?
Well, they don't have the space and they don't have the solar resource. I mean, like, you look at a country like Australia. I mean, again, we're the lucky country. We've got the best resource in the world. Northern Territory's got the best solar resource in the world. It's a stable country. We've got educated workforce. We've got the technology that's required. You know, you make a deal with us, there's a solid government that you can rely on to make sure that deal happens. So in terms of relying on another country for your electricity, I'm sure Singapore would rather be relying on Australia than Indonesia. And that's before you even kind of compare the actual resource and space that we have to do a project like this. So I don't think there are many other options in Australia to really be that renewable energy exporting superpower for Southeast Asia. And that's the opportunity that we have in front of us.
If this was done on a cattle station, how much money could a station earn if it housed a facility like this one?
Yeah, well, that comes down to the negotiations. But, you know, you would expect, a lease to be put in place, and you'd expect income from the cattle station for locating any infrastructure like that on the farm, so on the station. So this is definitely, you know, something that we've looked at as a potential income earner, and not just for, you know, absolutely massive mega projects like that. You know, it's important to realise there's an even bigger opportunity. It's not just about purely exporting electrons directly over a cable out to Asia, but we can be using that renewable energy to do a whole range of energy intensive activities within the Northern Territory that were never economically feasible before. So any station that's located, you know, potentially near a mine site or a remote community or anywhere, any other activity that might need energy, there's a potential opportunity there for those stations to actually be providing that energy.
Gone could be the days of remote communities burning diesel to keep the lights on.
Well, that is the lowest of the lowest hanging fruit. I mean, there's nothing more expensive than shipping diesel around remote areas. I mean, diesel itself is expensive, and then once you add, obviously, the transportation costs. So, you know, that's really the crux of a lot of this report. Like, you know, mines can electrify, you know, which would make them cheaper to run and a safer workspace as well. You wouldn't have all the diesel fumes to deal with. And then what's really exciting is that by having access to really cheap electricity, rather than just digging up raw materials and then shipping them overseas, which is what we do at the moment, we could actually be using that really cheap electricity to process the minerals locally in electrified processing plants. Once again, using the world's cheapest electricity to make that economically feasible, and that would provide job opportunities distributed all around the Northern Territory.
Just going back to that huge proposal in the Barkly, do we actually know whereabouts that company's planning to build the project, what stations it might cover?
They're not being public yet with exactly where the proposal is. So yeah, I don't have that information.
If you're just tuning in, this is The Country Hour. Matt Brown with you this afternoon, and we're speaking to Eitan Lenko, who is from Beyond Zero Emissions. You mentioned diesel power generation in remote communities. That's low-hanging fruit, something that can be fixed. Are you aware of any other large renewable energy projects that are being considered in the Northern Territory right now?
Yes. Well, another one of the big opportunities that we looked at, you know, if you think about the opportunities for the Northern Territory to export energy. Obviously, the Sun Cable project is, you know, very literal. You know, you build a cable. But then there's obviously the other opportunity to export something like hydrogen. So, and there are a number of proposals on the table to start building hydrogen plant up here in the Northern Territory, where, once again, we've got an amazing geographical location. We've got existing trade partnerships in place with countries like Japan, who want to base their entire renewable economy on renewable hydrogen, and South Korea as well. And we have a lot of the infrastructure, the gas infrastructure already in place, and the knowledge of how to deal with highly flammable gases. So again, that's another great opportunity for the Northern Territory, and I know there are conversations about projects that we could look forward to in that area as well.
Can you remind us what renewable hydrogen is again and how it works?
Sure. So renewable hydrogen, you know, there's a number of different ways to make hydrogen, and really hydrogen is being looked at as a fuel that is really useful in a zero carbon world, because it's just made out of basically bombarding water with a lot of energy, and you put electricity through something called an electrolyzer, and that splits apart the water, the H and the O in the water, and you can capture that hydrogen and store that hydrogen to use it, you know, to generate electricity or for a whole range of industrial processes like making steel, for example. So it's projected that that's going to be a huge market over the next few years, particularly as Japan and South Korea start wanting to import huge amounts of renewable hydrogen. And in the Northern Territory, what you need to do that effectively is just have huge amounts of cheap electricity, ideally through solar. And again, there's no better place in the world to set up an industry like that than the Northern Territory. So, Beyond Zero Emissions, when you add up a few of these different proposals together, we very conservatively project that there could easily be 8,000 new jobs in these renewable energy industries in the Northern Territory, and they could bring in more than $2 billion a year in new revenue. So it really is an incredible bonanza that we're looking at if we just kind of free our minds to start thinking about as renewables as a way to actually drive the economy here, rather than just something that switches, you know, the way that we power our light loads in our houses.
Since launching your paper into this and all the publicity around the Barclay proposal and meetings that you've had in Darwin, what sort of sense are you getting in terms of support?
Yeah, well, I think there's been a real shift. I mean, we launched our report on Thursday, and we actually brought the Sun Cable guys, and we brought Mike Cannon-Brooks, who's head of investment, into town as well. And so we really wanted to launch the report, but also show that there's real money and real projects and real opportunities on the table. And I think that's been pretty successful. Like you say, Michael Gunner's been very excited about it. I mean, he already knew about some of these projects, but he's taken the opportunity to really to continue the momentum on them. And I think what we found is that with the publicity, I mean, there's been a lot of coverage in the NT News, a lot of conversations, a lot of meetings with government. And I think there's been a real shift in the understanding that actually renewables, are a technology that's ready today, that's already economic, and that it already has the ability to basically build your whole economy around. And I think that's moved the conversation on from things like gas, you know, where gas is really at the end of that, at the end of the gas boom wave, where countries are looking for, you know, increasingly looking for ways to move off gas and onto the cheaper renewable technologies, and onto the renewable wave, which is really the thing that's going to propel the economy for the next 50 years. And the other thing that's been really well received is the opportunities, not just for business and to export and all of that, but also just to help the cost of living here in the Northern Territory. I mean, we showed that if we can electrify our vehicles, and we know that electric vehicles will be cost competitive with petrol vehicles in just a few years, then the cost of transportation in the Northern Territory could drop by 80%. So you could have, you know, solar panels on your own property powering your electric vehicles, and then you're effectively driving around for free And there's not very many roads in the Northern Territory, so it wouldn't take that much to set up the charging infrastructure to allow people to go really long distances.
Hey, I'll let you go in a moment, Aitan, but we're getting a few texts and calls coming through. I might just pass some of these questions on to you if it's okay. So these are questions coming through on 0487 99 1057. One here that says, Matt, it's not the solar that's the problem on remote communities. It's the batteries. A cloud comes over and the power goes out. It's that simple. Is that an issue, do you think, for remote communities and going to solar?
Absolutely. So I think when we're talking about renewables, it's really about the renewable system. It's not just literally about the solar panels themselves. So, yeah, you've got to think about it in terms of the system and combining the solar and the batteries for exactly that reason. But, you know, even when you take batteries into account, solar plus batteries is still cheaper than is still much cheaper than diesel, certainly, and even cheaper than gas. The cost of batteries is really coming down that cost curve, very similar to what we saw solar doing over the last 5 to 10 years. And I think even people that have looked at into systems like this a year ago or 2 years ago are really surprised when they look at it again today and see how far prices have fallen.
Frank wants to know what the voltage drop would be in a 3,000k plus cable to Singapore. He thinks it would be huge, and Mark sends us a text a bit the same, saying cable to Singapore, gaspingly big ask. Is it feasible? Is it a cable too far?
Yeah, well, I mean, HVDC, again, it's thanks to China, that's a technology that's really been developed over the last 5-10 years. Obviously, that technology has been around for a long time, and, you know, I'm from Victoria, and you know, we've got Victoria and Tasmania hooked up by HVDC cable, but China really pushed the technology, and you know, they've had a massive renewables rollout, and they've got HVDC cables going from the north of China to the south of China to bring that renewable energy that's generated in the north down to the south. So through a lot of that technological development, we're now at a point where, you know, people with some cables who are based in Singapore, you know, they've done a lot of their technological research and development, and they say that, you know, that it's technically completely feasible, and the engineers that I speak to and that we have in Beyond Zero Emissions share that view.
Thanks for your time this afternoon.
Thanks a lot, Matt. Thanks for having me.